you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. We'll continue with our Founders Day coverage as recorded a few weeks ago. Monday and Tuesday, you heard from Paul Nyquist, the president of the Moody Bible Institute. Today and tomorrow, you'll hear from Joseph Stoll, a former president of the Moody Bible Institute, currently the president at Cornerstone University. And we'll begin today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, with some worship, a student testimony, and then a portion of Dr. Stoll's message.
How do we live in this increasingly dark world? How do we live winsomely, courageously, victoriously, to the glory of God?
Welcome to Moody Radio's coverage of Founders Week 2016. Coming up this hour, we'll hear highlights from worship led by Charles and Donna Butler, a special student testimony, and a message from the president of Cornerstone University, Dr. Joseph Stoll. Founders Week is an annual conference held in honor of D.L. Moody's birthday on the Moody Chicago campus and at the Moody Church. This year, our conference theme is taken from Isaiah 40:25, which says, "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One?" This week, the Bible teaching and music have been focusing on the uniqueness of our God and how there is no one in the universe who compares to him. To find out more about this year's Founders Week speakers, access the live stream, or order one of the many messages available on CD or MP3 download, go to foundersweek.org. Throughout the week, we've been hearing from current MBI students who consider themselves extremely blessed to be part of the student body. Let's listen now as Daniel Lim shares how he came to Moody.
Good evening, Saints. My name is Daniel Lim, and I am from Singapore. I came to Moody because of its amazing heritage. When I was serving on board the missionary ship, the Lagos Hope, for 2 years, I met many Moody alumni, one of whom became my wife. Now, this ship that I'm talking about isn't any ordinary ship. As the world's largest floating book fair, we have had the opportunity to slip into very close countries, such as Libya. Then, by our programs, outreaches, but most importantly, our conduct with each other as a Christian community, we were able to share the gospel. On the ship, I ministered alongside extraordinary people, missionaries who were trained at Moody. I figured that an institution that produced so many workers for Christ must be doing something right. Now, in my junior year, currently, I realized that there are so many things that I appreciate about Moody. I appreciate the quality education we receive, Moody's rich heritage, the friendship I've developed here, but most importantly to me, the outward-looking mindset fostered here. It's always made clear to us that Moody isn't our destination. Is the vehicle to take us out to do ministry in the world. My wife and I are still praying and seeking God to see where He wants us after this season. We could end up anywhere, from Europe to Central, or Asia to Southeast Asia. But the passion that God has placed in my heart is music. I desire to use my talents as a musician and as a studio engineer to further the kingdom of God, and I can see that Moody's communications program is taking me closer to that goal. So, on behalf of all my friends, I want to say a deep thank you to all the donors who make it possible for us to receive this quality education without getting into debt. Yes, go for it. It is truly an amazing opportunity because it allows us to go out into the world untethered. So once again, thank you.
That was Moody student Daniel Lim sharing how God has blessed him through Moody Bible Institute. Well, so far the week has been filled with both great teaching and uplifting worship. In just a moment, we'll hear an encouraging message from Dr. Joe Stoll. But first, let's listen as Charles and Donna Butler lead the congregation in singing a song that highlights this week's conference theme, No One Higher.
You are always with us. Gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free.
stand amazed in your presence. Astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God.
Worship during Founders Week 2016, led by Charles and Donna Butler. You're listening to highlights from the Wednesday evening session of Founders Week. Find out more about the conference online at foundersweek.org. Tonight's featured speaker is Dr. Joseph Stoll, president of Cornerstone University. He's an internationally recognized conference speaker and author. He served as president of Moody Bible Institute from 1987 to 2005. Let's return now to the platform of Moody Church for his message.
Well, I didn't need to drive here all the way from Grand Rapids, Michigan to tell you that something bad has happened to the world in which we live. And that my read is that there a sense of despair is the operational word for many of us Christians who take our world seriously and see no immediate solution to this deepening and dangerous darkness. I was struck by this reality at Christmas when singing the old traditional Christmas songs, when I stopped to think of the words, like, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Remembering that just a year ago I went to Bethlehem. And to get into Bethlehem, you had to go across a border crossing with guards with machine guns. And once you got past that checkpoint, you saw a sign that says, danger, enter at your own risk. And suddenly it didn't seem like that little town of Bethlehem that lies there so still. And the angelic announcement of peace on earth. And in the neighborhood of those angels and that announcement are some of the most brutally fought wars that our world has ever seen. And joy to the world. Joy to the world. Now, I don't want to be the Scrooge of Christmas and wreck your Christmas carols. I think we ought to sing them robustly and heartily, especially if we understand in the long stretch of things that there's a lot of truth there. But if it's just in the moment, it makes kind of in that moment, it made me feel like I was in some religious fantasy world that was disconnected to reality. And I was reminded just this past Christmas that unlike our Christmas cards, Jesus Christ was born into a very hostile, inhospitable world. That just months after he was born, the megalomaniac Herod, in a rant of jealousy, called for all the children, boys, 2 years and under, to be slaughtered. That his son later would behead John the Baptist. And that Jesus, growing up as a young man, would be a refugee in Egypt. And you know the rest of the story, that ultimately his naked body would be spread on an old rugged cross, nailed there in a shameful and torturous death. So living out our faith in Christ in a dark and a dangerous world is really not new if you look at Christ and look at the early church. But it does need some help. We need a little instruction on how do we live in this increasingly dark world? How do we live winsomely, courageously, victoriously to the glory of God? And I just want to say that embracing a sense of despair is not the solution. But there are many of us today who do despair because we feel that we have lost. We've lost the America that we love. And while sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt us, those names do hurt sometime. When we are bold enough to say that Jesus is the only way, then we're called arrogant. When we try to communicate the best we can about the biblical principles of human sexuality, we're called bigots. It's not the world that my grandfather preached in. It's not the world my dad preached in. My grandfather and dad could get up and talk about sleeping around is a sin. You shouldn't sleep around. And even the pagans who were there would say, yeah, well, we agree with that, but we're not going to stop sleeping around. Today you preach that and people go like, what planet are you from? We feel marginalized. Christianity today is the only subculture that is not protected. We're free game to be mocked in TV serials and movies, denigrated in the classrooms of our universities with no protection. And I tell you, see Christians who get really angry about this stuff. Do I have a witness? You know, maybe some of you felt like that. And fearful. Fearful for the world your children are going to grow up in. For Marty and myself, fearful for the world our grandchildren are going to grow up in. And confused. And a sense of despair sinks into our hearts. I remember speaking to about 40 people in a living room in Florida, in Palm Beach, Florida. And I was there to talk about how Christians live in a culture like this. And I was bold enough to make the statement, I don't think we're going to get America back. Don't throw rocks. But I don't think we're going to get America back. This never happens. It's never. Everybody's always polite when I preach, and soon they're nodding off and sound asleep. But this never happens to me. A guy two rows back just stood up and put his hand, oh no, that can't be. We've lost our hope. And the sense of despair in his voice was palatable. Sometimes that sense of despair is not just in our world politic and the shifting culture around us. Sometimes it's within our own hearts for a family that is broken. Health that has betrayed us. And we look at our own world and the darkness and badness of that world brings despair to our hearts. Well, it's into that kind of world and the world we've just talked about and into the kind of lives that I've just spoken about that Paul speaks to this issue. In a location of Scripture that will help us to navigate this matter winsomely, courageously, victoriously, in ways that glorify God. And I have to remind you of who he's writing to when he writes the book of Colossians. He's not writing to safe Christians growing up in a compatible culture. He's writing to early Christians who are not only marginalized, but deeply persecuted and killed for their commitment to Jesus Christ. I mean, if you think your world is bad, we're not there yet. So he's writing to people like these. People who are thrown to the lions, mauled by bears, burned on stakes to light the streets of Rome. He's writing to those kind of people, and probably some people whose own world has collapsed into a sea of despair as well. So let's look at what he has to say. What do you think? Colossians chapter 1. Did you bring your Bibles? This conference is sponsored by Moody
Bible.
Thank you, Bible Institute. I'm really annoyed that a lot of you are pulling out your iPhones right now. I just want you to know that. I'm for the days when we hold the book. Little old, sorry, students. But there is something nice about the rustle of the pages of the Word of God. All of that to get us there. Did you get there? Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now remember again who he's writing to. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all persistence, endurance, patience, with joy. So there's four exhortations to these people. Walk worthy in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Be strengthened with his might. Be persistent and be joyful. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. I love that phrase. It's Lord of the Rings-ish, isn't it? Like, seriously, the domain of darkness. Into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if I was an early Christian reading this text, I would certainly affirm that those are good things there. But my guess is it would put me in just a little bit of tension. Like, how do I get motivated to walk worthy in a manner pleasing to him when, given my circumstances, I kind of feel like he's betrayed me and abandoned me and left me out here vulnerable to a hostile world in which I live? And how do I get motivated to live by the strength of his power when, for early Christians, I feel so weak against the power of Rome? For us, I feel so weak against friends who oppose me and seek to lead me astray. I feel so weak of family who is not in sync with me. How can I have that power when I feel so weak? And how? Why do you ask me to persist when I think, hey, game over. It's done. And the temptation is so prevalent to bail. And joy? Joy when despair has gripped our souls. Think of exhorting an Iraqi family with these four things when their father has just been beheaded because of his claims for Christ. Think of how hard it would be for them to get their arms around that. Think of how hard it would be if you were to tell your friend whose husband has just left her with a house full of kids for another woman that she needed to walk worthy, pleasing in strength and power, persisting with joy. Just think how hard that would be. So I sense, given the audience and given our own lives, the tension in this text for us. But that's not the end of the text. You have to keep reading, because he grounds these exhortations for an upbeat attitude in the midst of the darkest of times. He grounds it in that great statement that by his power he has delivered us from this dark, evil domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And with that in perspective, suddenly there is a ray of hope in the midst of my despair. So let's unwrap this a little bit. There are only two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of Satan, or as Paul says, the domain of darkness. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now I just wanted to, if I can take a moment for a parenthesis here. There's something in this text that strikes me as wonderful. Paul does not write that God has taken us out of the domain of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his Son. He says he has put us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I love that. When you think of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we think that they work together and they cooperate, and the Father manages the eternal decree, the Son submits himself to the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son, and they work together. And that's usually what we think about the Trinity. But there's something richer. They not only work together, they love each other. They value each other. There's a dearness among them. They are precious to each other. I love that picture of our God. It's just not some wooden operation in heaven. It's this dynamic of a loving Trinity. And then I think of John 17, as I keep going with this parentheses, in case you thought I was done. You get to John 17, where his prayer is, Father, about us, make them one as we are one. And I think often we think of ourselves as working together for Jesus. Maybe at Moody Bible Institute, as faculty and staff, we're going to work together for Jesus. Maybe as students, we're going to study together for Jesus. Maybe you and your church, we're going to elder together for Jesus. If you understand the depth of that prayer, Father, make them as one as we are one, it's more than an operational reality. There is the call for us to love each other in that, to put a dearness in that toward each other, to live together as though my brothers and sisters were precious to me and that I was precious to them. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. And that's the beauty of the Trinity. I just love it where he says, he didn't need to say that, but he has put us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Love that. Close parentheses. Just had to say that. So let's unwrap this. There are two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan, the domain of darkness, the kingdom of Christ. And I need to remind you that these are not earthly kingdoms, though they do play out on the earth. These are trans-terrestrial kingdoms. Above us and below us, kingdoms managed by demons and managed by angels, and it is as real as you and I are sitting here tonight. Paul tries to get a grip of that in Ephesians 6 when he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these kingdom functions, these supernatural powers that are around us. They do play out on the earth. The temptation of Jesus Christ was a confrontation, direct confrontation, between the domain of darkness and the kingdom of Jesus Christ in that wilderness moment. Jesus going across the Sea of Galilee to the demoniac and casting, that was a play out of the kingdoms. The kingdoms before our very eyes in action, playing themselves out. There are only two kingdoms. And I wonder to which one you belong. So maybe it would be good for us to understand that these kingdoms have a culture. And just let me take you through some of the cultural realities of these kingdoms.
I'll jump in and we'll pick up right here on tomorrow, the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, as Joseph Stoll, president of Cornerstone University, continues this discussion on that there are only two kingdoms represented by two cultures, the culture of darkness and the culture of light. We do, in fact, live in an increasingly dark world, but let's learn to live in victory to the glory of God. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends, all sharing portions of 2016 Founders Week, as recorded a few weeks back, are archived at greatnewsradio.org. If you missed some of it, Monday and Tuesday featured a message by Paul Nyquist, today and tomorrow by Dr. Joseph Stoll. FYI, 43 days and counting to our big celebration birthday event at Lincoln Square Mall. Have you RSVP'd yet? Please do it today so we can plan accordingly. 500 gift boxes, one per household, are waiting for you to register at greatnewsradio.org. If you don't have internet access, go ahead and call in your reservation to Karen at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.